Hi, welcome to Kundupplevelsepodden, or the Customer Experience Podcast, a podcast for people who work with experience management, those interested in anything and everything experience, or those of you who just love listening to us and our guests. My name is Ingela Mauritsson, and I work at a company called Danji in Lund, Sweden. We specialize in behavioral analysis. My guest today is employer branding specialist Molly Strelacci. In this episode, she shares with us her thoughts on what the HR landscape will look like post-COVID and what Sony, the company where she works, has done to adapt to work from home. I really, really enjoyed my conversation with Molly. She had so many insights that were both practical and insightful on what post-COVID work is going to be like. I hope you guys enjoy listening to it as much as I enjoyed recording it. So welcome to our podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, great. So tell me a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So my name is Molly. I'm originally from the US and I would call myself a global citizen. I've lived in Japan for several years and now I have called Sweden my second home. I've been here for 5 years. I fell in love with a Swedish man while I was living and studying in Japan and now I'm here. So happy to be here in Sweden and I'm working currently in HR at Sony.
Great. And how long have you been in Sweden?
5 years.
5 years. And what do you think? What's your biggest kind of Sweden surprise?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Sweden surprise. I think for me, I'm very extroverted and social. So I often find myself being the person that has to initiate conversation with the Swedes. You know, they tend to be a little bit shy sometimes. So you have to open them up and, you know, not be afraid to just jump in and say hello and introduce yourself to new people. And yeah, so that's always a fun experience.
Yep. and I tend to find also that once you do that, you can get quite good friends. Like they're quite loyal after.
For sure. As I say, you know, once you've connected with a Swede as a good friend, you have them for life. They're in your circle and they're going to stay there forever. So yeah, it's a really different experience culturally than I've been experiencing growing up in the US, but it's also really, really good. And I think, you know, I've gained some friends that I know I'll have forever.
Mm. And you work in HR at Sony.
Yes.
What made you start working in with those questions with HR?
So my background is in psychology. I studied actually at Lund University. I took a master's in psychology and I've always been really interested in understanding the human brain and just, you know, the kind of contrast of how we as humans act so irrationally and so rationally in different situations and really just trying to understand why do we behave the way we behave. So I think that really motivated me to get into psychology. And then it felt really natural to then want to get into HR questions. So I took in particular a course in organizational psychology at the university, which was super interesting and really motivated me to, you know, get into questions about leadership, team dynamics, motivation. So those types of things really get me going.
And how do you implement that in your daily life? What's a day in the life of you?
Yeah, it really varies from day to day, which I appreciate. It doesn't get dull ever. But yeah, I would say I work a lot with employer branding. So basically, we believe that you know, the customer, the end customer, so to say, who is buying our products or services, that sort of satisfaction, that happiness begins from within. So that begins from all of our employees, all of our colleagues at Sony. So we really strive to work you know, within the area of employer branding and doing various activities, for example, within diversity, CSR, engagement, lots of these topics.
Mm. Engagement is really, I've been reading a lot of articles lately about employee engagement and how during COVID and during this really weird time that we're in right now, how employee engagement has actually gone down. People are really worried about employee engagement, in particular because people are working from home so much. I know that we're in kind of a special situation in Sweden. We don't actually have to work from home if we don't necessarily want to. What's the situation like for you guys, and how has this situation affected your work?
Yeah, so I think I can speak for most organizations when I say that, of course, the COVID situation has really you know, made us have to adapt quite quickly to this new reality. So for us, we, you know, before COVID, we're working face to face, you know, coming to the office pretty much every day. So work from home wasn't really something that we regularly did. So then, you know, from then one day to the next, it was really shifting the whole mindset of, okay, we can really perform to the same degree and do a lot of the same tasks that we do, you know, doing that from home.
Like, are your employees more or less engaged, or what's been going on?
So my experience is that it's kind of a trend where you have different groups of people who, some of them are really loving the work from home and really, you know, getting the best out of this experience.
Work-life balance.
Right. They can, you know, do their gym workout whenever they want. They don't have to be as confined by physically being in the office. Right. They might be able to, you know, multitask and, you know, get their coffee going while they're listening to a meeting or what have you. So there is this sort of subsection of people who are really enjoying it and for the most part thriving. And then there's another group who are silently suffering, who aren't necessarily, you know, putting up their hands and saying, you know, this is, you know, I'm having a hard time. I really need this social outlet, and I need to interact with my colleagues face to face. But a lot of them are, you know, struggling with this.
Right. Yeah, that's something that we've been seeing as well. We did a study actually on homework, like working from home, not homework, working from home. We found that as well, that there are different groups, and it becomes really obvious that, you know, it's going off to the extremes. It's really great for some people and really awful for some people. And you have people who talk about, you know, well, I don't really like my colleagues that much anyway. And you're just like, oh, wow. You know? So I think it's really great I can stay at home. And others who are really like, I miss my colleagues so much. I really want to have that out of meeting interaction and talking in the stairwell and, you know, getting lunch or whatever.
Absolutely.
I think that, you know, it's really important to, I think that it's going to be really important for organizations to see employees much more on an individual level than what we've seen.
And much before. More holistically as well. So it's not just about their output, their performance. It's about considering the employee for their entire situation. You know, right. There's so much that impacts the employee performance that you don't necessarily take into consideration readily about, you know, their family situation, their home life situation, maybe their ergonomic work from home situation, many things. So I think, you know, companies are starting to realize the importance of thinking holistically about the individual rather than only isolating and focusing on, you know, are they creating output or not?
Right. And so what are your thoughts on what that means for leadership?
Yeah, so I think that this is a time where leaders really need to step up and to show the values of the organization, to show that they actually care, you know, that it's not just a motto or a saying that, you know, we care about our people. It really needs to be shown in practice that, you know, that it's the people who create the organization. And so we really need to start right and to do right by the people.
Mm.
So yeah, I think most smart leaders are realizing that this is their moment to really to shine and to differentiate themselves as a very capable, very strong organization.
Mm. I found that a lot of organizations, they get kind of put in the sunlight right now. You can see the organizations that have kind of a Tayloristic view of, yes, you stamp in and stamp out, and that's when you're working.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as I can see you as your boss, then basically I know that you're working. And some organizations who are really good at communicating, this needs to be done. And as long as we do that, that's fine. Sure. You can be wherever you are. I think it's really interesting to see how people have been starting to reflect on that and really thought about leadership in that way as well, that it's not only about, seeing the employee there, but also about being able to communicate what needs to be done and getting it done on a group level and trusting employees.
Absolutely. And I believe that, generally speaking, I think Sweden is really they're in the future on this. They're ahead on this when it comes to, trusting employees and really believing in what they're doing, not feeling like they need to watch over them in any way or, have some form of clock in, clock out system or so on. So I think that, again, smart organizations and leaders will realize that that is the way forward, that without trusting people to actually do what they're tasked to do, then you're going to be lost.
Right, right. I mean, you've worked in Japan. I've worked in China. It's very different there.
Yes, yes.
In Sweden.
That's an understatement.
What are some of the differences that you've observed from Japanese organizations? And
yeah, well, as you say, it's definitely about presence over performance.
Yeah.
So, it's really important to physically be there and to stay long hours. It's considered quite rude to leave the office before your manager, because then you're kind of considered a slacker or, you're not working hard enough. So there's a lot about image and, how you're portrayed by your colleagues rather than actually what you're capable of doing and what is your skill set.
Mm, that sounds really similar to China as well, mm-hmm. Where you'd have also like mattresses under the desks and
oh boy. Stuff like okay, that. Okay, I haven't seen that one, but yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I think that we're kind of in a privileged country in many ways, but I think it's also given us the opportunity in Sweden to try things out in ways that we haven't, that maybe other countries are not able to do because they're in much more of a kind of a crisis situation.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that you're doing at Sony right now? How is work proceeding for you guys?
Absolutely. So I think for a lot of organizations, obviously they've had to, become very adept at doing everything digitally. So we've been, working from home, obviously, and getting better and better at using our tools, Teams and Skype and Zoom, you name it. Mm. So those digital skills are becoming really important. And as time goes on, I think people are realizing as well that while those tools may be, sufficient to get work done, they can in fact create inefficiencies, mm-hmm. because you realize that a lot of work can be done, more efficiently face to face. And there's a lot to be said for sort of this impromptu or unplanned meeting or, just coming into the office and being recognized. Hey, how are you today? These small things can really create value. So what we've done is we've shifted from a completely work from home situation to kind of a hybrid. So it's work from home as well as work from office. And of course, taking safety top of mind, as well as realizing that this is going to be, a long-term situation. So we need to as well secure that we are, you know, taking care of the business needs.
Mm. So what are some practical things that you've been doing?
Mm-hmm. So for example, in order to stay connected, I've organized that we use our volunteer days and try to go out to the Loma Beach and pick up trash together and try to, you know, reconnect as colleagues and try to get that face time while also doing something good. So I think being able to utilize the benefits that we have at our organization and as well to realize that we're kind of, you know, in need of this social, you know, interaction.
Well, that's a really cool thing. So you have volunteer days when all the employees gather together and use that as an opportunity then to socially connect in a more informal way.
So it can be done, you know, on an individual basis. So for example, last year I worked as a mentor to a young woman in Malmö who wanted to have some guidance and have someone to talk to other than her parents or friends about some things. And you know, that can also be something that's done as kind of a team building exercise. So that, you know, you can really harness this energy of being together and also really feel good about doing something good at the same time.
Mm. And that kind of spurs creativity as well, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know that when I'm doing ironing or picking up garbage or whatever, I always get my best ideas.
So. For sure, yeah. I always get my best ideas when I'm in the shower, just kind of, you know, mind wandering.
yeah, exactly. I think Margaret Atwood, you know, the writer who wrote, what's it called?
Handmaid's Tale?
Handmaid's Tale, yeah. She says that she always, when she gets writer's block, she irons.
Uh-huh.
So
there you go. Perfect. I'll have to give that one a go.
Yeah. Cool. Well, how have you found the digital transition? Like, what's that been like at Sony? I mean, you're obviously a very highly digital company to begin with. We were saying that a lot of our kit here today for the podcast is Sony kit. But yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think, you know, technology, as we are coming to realize, is essential for us to be able to conduct our business. So we rely on that obviously very heavily to be able to do our business. And we're working in areas, you know, obviously I think most people know we work with audio and visual, you know, TVs, headphones, but we're also working in other areas, 5G, IoT, business to business, robotics. So it's really, you know, we're working in quite a broad area and trying to accomplish all of our business needs through digital means is going quite well, actually.
Yeah. And do you find that your technology has supported your employees when they've been homebound? Now I'm kind of putting you on the spot. That everyone has.
I would like to say so. No, I think definitely. It's been, of course, there's bumps and you know, there were kinks to be worked out in the beginning in terms of making sure that there was sufficient bandwidth for everyone to be on the network at home, for example. So that was a challenge in the beginning. But now that we're sort of established in this work from home style, it's much more doable.
Mm. What do you think are the main factors that need to be considered when a group of, I mean, you're obviously a huge employer here in Lund, and a lot of Lund goes to Sony every day. But what makes an organization be successful in bringing that amount of people from a physical office to home? What are your biggest success factors for that?
I think it comes down to the manager. The manager needs to reach out and engage with their colleagues and really make an effort to check in. But I also think that each one of us as a colleague has the power to really make a difference in every one of our colleagues' lives by simply asking, you know, how are you today? How can I support you?
Right.
So it doesn't have to be, you know, this sort of complex formula for how to stay engaged. It's really down to the basics of, you know, keeping in touch, being present, checking in, whether that's, you know, primarily the manager, but as well up to each one of us ultimately to make sure that we are feeling motivated, we're ready, and we're, you know, we're keeping our spirits high.
Right. Well, it sounds like, I mean, you've reached kind of the same conclusion as we have, that these softer questions, I mean, I don't like actually calling them soft, because actually they're quite concrete and hard if you look at it from a scientific point of view. But the need to be seen, the need to be heard, the need to be valued, those things are even more important now in a kind of a home-based situation. Mm-hmm. And I think that has a lot of, I've been thinking about that a lot as a kind of a leadership question as well. What kind of leadership do we value in our organizations? And I think that the ability to be empathetic to your employees and a good kind of caretaker of your team is going to be even more important as we move forward now post-COVID.
Most definitely. Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that for leaders to be successful going forward, they really need to, again, see the employee for the holistic things that they bring and try to, you know, connect with them on an individual level. So this is, you know, it is time consuming from a leadership perspective, but it is so worth it in the end.
Mm-hmm. I think that what that means also, you know, we work with a lot of organizations who measure their employees with surveys or pulse surveys or all kinds of ways to measure our employee satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the time, people say that, yes, I mean, it's good that they reach out, that HR reaches out and actually sees that we're okay. But it doesn't really say anything about my actual situation. I don't get the opportunity to be seen through this kind of survey. And I think that it's going to put a lot of pressure on organizations to actually see and hear employees in a new and different way, and to actually talk, just like you were pointing out, to actually talk to your employees and follow up and have that conversation with them. How are you doing today? And to make it kind of systematic. Do you agree?
I definitely agree that it's super critical that we you know, have that top of mind going forward, and even more so, and as well that it's always been important to really look at these engagement surveys and try to understand how businesses can improve and make sure that people ultimately are going to, you know, recommend their employers at the end of the day. That's kind of the ultimate question that it comes down to. So I think we want to be an employer that people want to come to and want to be a part of. So to do that, it requires that we actively work with the results of such engagement surveys and try to constantly better ourselves and constantly improve.
Mm. That puts a lot of pressure on the leadership. I think that is that's something that people are going to be talking about for a long time, how to do that. But it's really nice to hear that you guys are on top of it at Sony. You're such an important employer here in the city. So what would you say is the biggest shift for your organization now during COVID? What's been kind of the biggest change?
Well, I think initially it was again, just trying to manage everyone being from home and trying to secure that we have safety as our number one priority.
Right.
And like ensuring that we, exactly. And yeah, ensuring that we as a part of society are doing our part to ensure that the spread of this COVID is going to go down and, you know, ultimately that we can overcome this. So, but then, you know, after that, it was more about trying to find a balance between, you know, being isolated and everyone kind of finding themselves a little bit more lonely to then really trying to engage with people more and find a way to achieve our business needs while also making sure that people are healthy in a mental way, you know, that they are, you know, feeling good and feeling motivated and feeling engaged and happy. And these are really challenging times to do that.
Yeah. People are pretty stressed out, even personally. I think I can only speak for myself. But yeah, it's a stressful time.
For sure. I think for me, one of the keys has been to limit news exposure as well. I feel like one of the problems that I had in the beginning was just reading too much, and then it becomes all you can think about.
Right, right.
So yeah, I think given the fact that it is such a, you know, long ride that we're on with this COVID, it's something we have to, you know, put on the sidelines. You don't want to have it as your front and center topic every morning when you wake up.
Yeah. And also, I mean, you're from the US, so you have a lot of stuff going on at home as well. So.
Oh boy. Are we going to get into that one?
No, let's not. Let's leave that to another podcast.
That's a whole nother podcast waiting for you.
Well, I mean, it's a little bit more mellow here in Sweden, I would say, maybe.
Thank God for that. Yes. Yeah.
Also on the COVID situation, it's actually a little bit more mellow. I think that we can probably have a lot of teachings that we can teach other people, because we've just been so it's been pretty chill for us here in Sweden. We haven't had that much going on. I mean, but you have offices in Stockholm as well. It's been worse there. Right.
In general, Stockholm has been more affected, obviously, than down here in Skåne. So it's been, of course, you know, in the beginning, it was primarily Stockholm that everyone was sort of talking about as the sort of epicenter. And that was something that, of course, you know, became, you know, widespread, really, anywhere.
Yeah,
we can't escape the COVID.
No. great. Well, is there anything you would like to leave our listeners with? I mean, if they're struggling with trying to find an efficient way to get their workforce to work happily from home, what's your best advice to them?
Yeah, my best advice is to start with the individual and to really to be empathetic and to do lots of check-ins, more than you think is needed. Don't be afraid to just, you know, offer having a fika or going on a walking meeting, getting outside. Just, you know that each and every one of you have the power to make a difference in the life of a colleague, and that we all together can get through this.
And for those of us who are English-speaking listeners who might not know what a fika is, this is a Swedish phenomenon of having coffee and cake, basically, which I mean, we encourage everyone to do.
The essential fika. You can't escape it if you live in Sweden.
Right. That's great advice. And I really thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on this situation and takeaways from Sony. I'm really inspired by the whole social activities that you do together in order to bring in that was a really creative way to solve the social needs that employees have.
And we have to be more and more creative going forward to be able to make sure that people are feeling good and staying engaged. So
I'm finding those little spaces to socialize and stay together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
Great. Thank you. Well, have a fantastic rest of the day. And today is today's last summer day. So
I'm getting the sun shining right on me now, and it's beautiful.
Fantastic. I love how Molly describes the need for more social interaction beyond just office encounters. If we really value employees' experiences, I believe it's time to look at our activities as work as a whole, and I think this will really put leadership to the test in the coming years. Thank you so much, Molly, for sharing your thoughts and experience. If you're interested in being on the podcast, have thoughts or suggestions, you can follow us on LinkedIn at Kundeplevelsepodden or visit our website, kundeplevelsepodden.se. Stay safe and healthy, and see you next time.